All right, you're going to be on this side, and you're talking right into that, okay? Nice and loud.
Good morning, and welcome to Terrible Tackle Live.
Thank you. Good job, buddy. Going that way? Good morning, and welcome to all of you who are joining us this morning via YouTube and via Facebook. Thank you. Again, for allowing us into your home this morning. Hey, we're going to open our worship service. We're going to have a scripture reading coming to us from Jackson Ford. After that, we'll have prayer by Jordan Ford. And then right after that, we'll jump right into the Word of God. Jackson?
Good morning. Good morning. Psalms 30. Scripture 4, 5, sing praise to the Lord, ye saints of his, and give thanks as at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life.
If we could just get our hearts and mind in order, I'll begin to pray. Lord, we'll thank you for another opportunity to be with you in your presence on this Sunday morning. Lord, but consider it that no matter the circumstances, we still set aside time to praise your holy name, Lord. Lord, this Sunday, we just want another opportunity to testify, edify, and sanctify in your presence. We know that we couldn't be here without you. We've seen what you have done for others, and we pray that you continue to bless us and cover us with your strength during this trying time, Lord. Lord, we ask for community. We ask for togetherness. We ask for everything that we know that your power can deliver to further bless us and strengthen us as we continue to move forward in your name. Lord, we want you to bless those who are currently struggling, those affected by the virus, those affected by sickness, those affected by all the things that the world is putting in front of us now, Lord. As we walk step by step with you in our hearts and our minds and holding our sword, Lord, we just want you to continue to walk with us on this journey. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Jackson, and thank you, Jordan, and also thank you, Jacob. Hey, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to invite you to turn to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 26th verse. Again, we're in the New Testament this morning, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 26. So whether you have a paper Bible in your hand, your iPhone, iPad, you're using a Bible app, that's where we're going to spend. We're just going to look at one verse this morning. Before we get started, I do want to thank everybody for joining us on Friday for the prayer and Bible study. Thanks to all of you who got in on the conference line. And not only thank you for joining in on the conference line, but I want to thank you for keeping connected through prayer. And while this, the current pandemic, the coronavirus, while it may keep us from coming together physically and fellowshipping, we can come together in the spirit through the power and connection of prayer. And so I just want to thank you, for doing that over the last 2 months. And like I said on Friday night, that's why I brought the preacher in on Friday night, just to encourage all of you. We're always praying for those in need of prayer, but sometimes the prayer warrior needs prayer themselves. And so hopefully you got in on Friday night. Hopefully you've been encouraged by that, and that the fire and the energy of prayer has been rekindled in you, because even as a church and as a faith community, We still have families and friends who are still being affected by the virus. We're having folks who are not being affected by the virus but are still in need of prayer. And I believe that is the role that we play as a church. One of the roles we play as a church in this world is to be able to offer up prayer unto our God. Amen. So are you there? Ephesians 4:26. A very familiar passage maybe to some. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. And so for the next couple of minutes, I'm not even going to preach as much as I just want to talk about anger management. That's what I want to talk about today, is anger management. So we're going to bow our heads in a word of prayer. But before we do, Jackson, can you bring me my one of my handkerchiefs or towels I have there on my desk? I came out here and forgot it. So that's what we're going to talk about, anger management. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Do not allow the sun to go down upon your wrath. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your great name. You alone have the words of eternal life. So to whom can we go and who else can we turn to? You are our everything. You are our life, our strength. You are the very breath we breathe. And so we come to you now. We turn our attention to the Holy Mount of God, that you would speak to us, not only to our outer man, but moreover to our inner man, that by the words of God, we might hear, obey, and live. This your humble servant ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anger management. Tell me if this phrase reminds you of anything. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Some of you may be familiar with this line. This line was spoken by Dr. David Banner, who was played by Bill Bixby in the TV show The Incredible Hulk in the late 70s. Bruce Banner and the Incredible Hulk are the Jekyll and Hyde of pop culture television. One is mild-mannered and the other is a beast consumed by uncontrollable rage. When Dr. Banner gets angry, like some of us, when our Starbucks barista puts soy milk instead of almond milk in your Venti half-calf double mocha, and I'm putting all the Starbucks stuff in there for my wife, so if you guys get it, you get it. But Dr. Banner gets angry, and he turns big and green and starts smashing things as his anger grows out of control. It's interesting that when I look at this verse, I am surprised by how it starts. It starts out by saying, be angry. The Bible's open, just tell us, go ahead and get angry. And I'm surprised by that because oftentimes the context in which we hear or use or talk about anger is often in the context of trying to limit it or putting it in a bad connotation. But the Ephesian writer, Paul, tells us, go ahead and be angry, but sin not. Anger is good when it serves as a catalyst to ignite a fire within us to do something positive. During this kind of this stay-at-home initiative we're under all around the country, the more and more you walk around your house, seems like every week you're getting angry about something in your house. The basement's not clean, the kitchen's not clean, this closet's been a mess for so long, and it's finally when you get fed up with it, and some anger gets kindled in that you say, you know what, I'm just going to stop
and I'm cleaning this up today. I'm fixing this up today. I'm getting this done today. And so there, your anger is actually causing you to do something positive, something you haven't done, you've put off for time and time again. But now you finally got fed up with it or angry enough at it that you say, you know what, I'm just going to stop and I am going to fix this today. I also think about anger from a positive context. Growing up as a football player, very common then, I would assume so now too, is to have coaches. Our coaches used to jump on us as young men, and they would say some not nice things, let me say it that way. And I don't think they said those things to belittle us. They were said to us so that it might light a fire in us or stir something else, stir something up in us, that we would then go back out in the second half and perform better or at a higher level than we had at the beginning. They could look at the game situation. They would often tell us, you guys are better than this. I don't know why you're not playing up to your full potential. And oftentimes they would use that halftime speech to get us angry and stirred up so that we could go back out in the second half and do better than what we were doing and ultimately pull out a victory. So anger can be a good thing. Not only does the Bible tell us to get angry, but it's also open to the fact that God himself gets angry. Judges 2 and 20 says, "For the anger of the Lord burned against Israel." 2 Samuel 24 and 1, again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So God has anger. God encourages us to also get angry, but there is a caution at that within that verse that says, okay, go ahead and be angry, but sin not. So why is it that we often think of anger in a negative context when it can be good, encouraging us to do better athletically, where it could be good in turning us and helping us to get stuff done that we have left lagging or fall to the wayside? We see in our Bible that God gets angry. So why is it that we often talk about anger in a negative context? Because we often talk about anger after it has gone too far. It has gone beyond being something positive. It has gone beyond being a catalyst to motivate us or to spur us into positive action. And now it has crossed over the line, and instead of being positive, our anger has now turned negative. Because something which starts out good can quickly turn evil and dangerous, and if left unchecked, can grow out of control. You're familiar with Galatians 5. There we have the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. And last but not least, self-control. And I often wonder, why is that self-control there? And it's when we begin to examine anger that we understand the importance of self-control so that our anger doesn't get out of hand. Instead of saying something or doing something that causes harm, and instead of being helpful, all because our anger has boiled and gotten out of control. So as we look at anger management this morning, I just want to look at this single verse, and I want to look at it, the way I want to treat this, I want to look at it from various translations. So if you have an electronic Bible, a Bible app, Bible on your phone, however you're doing it, you can jump with me as we look at these various translations. I'm going to start with the NIV, the New International Version. That same verse is read like this. It says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." Don't allow your anger to sit or simmer inside of you. If left unchecked, it will explode and has the potential to do irreparable harm and damage. The preacher says in Ecclesiastes 7 and 9, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. God encourages us to get angry because it can be the spark or the catalyst to positive action. But if we don't control that anger, it can go too far. And one of the means or methods by which it can cross over the line and begin to do harm is when we have anger that is unresolved, when we allow anger to sit in our spirit, when we have anger and we hold it in or bottle it up, it doesn't go away on its own. It only begins to intensify and to magnify its explosiveness when it finally comes out. And so the Bible writer tells us, be careful because anger rests in the bosom of fools. Don't allow your anger to sit and to percolate inside of you. Get it out. The Bible says, cast all of your cares upon God, for he cares for you. And this is why I tell people, well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do when I get angry? And I don't want to say this and I don't want to do that. As people, we may not be able to handle one another's angers, but God can. You want to yell at somebody, yell at God. You want to take out your frustrations and your hang-ups and your fears. You know, the Bible says, cast all of your cares on God because he cares. And what I found out over time is not only does God care, but God is big enough to handle our anger. Again, I want to look at that same verse, Ephesians 4:26. Now I want to read it out of the Message Bible. The Message Bible says, go ahead, be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. Don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonishment of the Lord. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't provoke anybody to wrath. Because again, now you're going too far. You've allowed that thing to sit inside you, to percolate and grow inside you, and now you are out for revenge. And now you've said something or done something. And now the conversation between you and another is now escalating out of control. Don't allow it to rest in your bosom. Don't allow it to be a catalyst now instead of positive things, now negative things. Now because they said something to hurt you, you feel obligated to say something back to hurt them. And now you have become an instrument of revenge and not love. Don't allow it to happen. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Husbands, don't provoke your wives. Wives, don't provoke your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Don't provoke your parents. Church members, don't provoke one another. Cousins, don't provoke one another. Get your anger under control and don't let it serve as a catalyst for you seeking revenge on someone else. Just because someone else allows their anger to boil over and go out of control, don't allow that to now set you off. Now your anger boils out. And now all we look, the whole conversation is just going to escalate higher and higher until what? It gets out of control. Something we never intended to happen is now the result. Why? We got too angry And now we've crossed over into sin. Now, I want to read the same verse now. I want to read it out of the New Living Translation. Ephesians 4:26, New Living Translation. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't sin by letting anger control you. How many times have we encountered people or we ourselves have been controlled by anger? Now our actions, now our words, now our deeds are the byproduct of the unchecked and uncontrolled anger that has been sitting and simmering down in our spirit. Matthew 5:22 says, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." There are so many people today who are angry with family members and loved ones, and oftentimes don't even know why, nor can they remember the cause for the anger. It's been sitting so long. It's been festering for so long. It's just become common to be angry. I wish I had a quarter for every time someone tells me, "Oh, that's just the way he is. Oh, he just has a temper. Oh, he's hot tempered. He's always on edge." Anger has now not become something that comes up in us every now and again. It has now become a lifestyle. That's just the way I am. I always tell people off. I always snap back. I always come back harder, whoever comes back on me. Now, anger is not something that is motivating me for positive change or for positive action. It has now become the source of my lifestyle and my conduct. And instead of living in a way that honors and pleases God, now I'm just an angry old man. And you can take that old out and replace it with young. It can be old, it can be young, it can be man, it can be woman, boys and girls. I've never seen so many young people just angry. Angry at life. Angry at the system. Angry at their parents. Angry at their friends. Oh, and that anger is just sitting there, boiling over, getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Don't sin by letting anger control you. You don't get nothing else out of this message today. Just pray the simple prayer, "Lord, help me not to be controlled by anger." Hey, I want to read, lastly, Ephesians 4:26. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. It says here, "Be angry." And if you're going to be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, or at ungodly behavior. Yet do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. Here you go, folks. If you're going to be angry at sin. Be angry at immorality. Be angry at injustice. Be angry at ungodly behavior. Still, don't cross the line. Don't allow your anger to cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. Let us have the kind of anger or righteous indignation that does not bring shame on us, our family, and above all, on our God. But rather, let us have anger that is more like the Lord's anger. The psalmist says in Psalm 78:34, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many were the times that he turned his anger away and did not stir up all of his wrath toward them. That's anger under control. That's God getting anger, but God has what? Turned away his anger. God has replaced his anger with compassion and forgiveness and with love and with mercy. And if we are to be children of God, if we are to be sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, then we ought to, in the same manner, act like our Heavenly Father and bring our anger under control. Yes, in this class on anger management, the God is not rebuking or denying us the opportunity to be angry, because oftentimes anger can be good. Righteous indignation is what causes us to move from ungodliness to godliness. It is anger over sin and our frustration over what the devil is trying to do that moves us from unholiness to holiness. It is when we see ourselves and what sin has done in our lives that we begin angry and begin to seek all the more after our God. So let's be like our God and control our anger, not allowing it to get out of control, not allowing it to boil over, not allowing it to do irreparable damage. The psalmist said, Jackson read it, Psalms 30 and 5. This is what I love about our God. His anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. This is how our God gets angry. His favor is for a lifetime. His faithfulness is for a lifetime. His forgiveness is for a lifetime. His fruitfulness towards us is for a lifetime. His friendship with us and to us is for a lifetime. But his anger, but for a moment, it comes. Just that quickly, it is gone. Just that quickly, he remembers how much he loves us. And while God could have so easily and quickly destroyed us, he did not. For the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world, that when he could have been angry at the world, because it was not what he created any longer, he didn't destroy it. He did not allow his anger to consume him nor us. But he loved us. Loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. And said, all you have to do is believe on him. You can be saved from your sin. So, Pastor, why bring this kind of message up? Why talk about anger? Why? Because anger is killing us, believers and unbelievers alike. Don't allow anger to kill you and destroy others. Don't allow anger to do it. Don't allow anger to control the rest of your life. Why spend the rest of your life bitter and broken, steaming with anger over something someone has said or done? If you want to remember what someone has said or done, remember what Christ has done. Remember what God has said about you and to you. Let those words sit in your ears. Let those words go around and around in your mind. Don't be like David Banner. Don't allow your anger to get out of control. Paul tells us in his writings, he says, take off all of these things. Take off anger. Take off immorality. Just take that stuff off. Get it out of your spirit. Cast it on God. He's able to handle it. He's able to carry it and allow you to be free. If you're here this Sunday morning You say, Pastor, that word resonates with me. Oftentimes people have described me as an angry person. Oftentimes I find myself in situations I'd rather not be in, all because my anger got out of control. And you know what I find true when looking at an anger, examining anger? The people we hurt are oftentimes the people close to us, the people who love us the most, the people who care for us the most. Those are often the victims of our uncontrollable anger. Today I realize that is sin in my life, that I allow my anger to push me too far, to cross over the line, and to go from something positive now into something negative. Now I've said something, now I've done something, and I can't take it back. God, change me. Create in me a clean heart. God, renew in me a right spirit. Wash me out. Get rid of all of this anger, all of this bitterness. Get it out of me. I don't want to be controlled by my anger and my rage, but rather let me live and walk in the Spirit. And let me be an example of your love, your kindness, your peace, your mercy, your gentleness, your long-suffering, and an example of godly self-control. So if you're here this morning and you would like to give your life to Christ, if you would like to go from anger over into the compassion of God, if you would like to get rid of the rage and the frustration and replace it with the forgiveness of God, the fruitfulness of God and the friendship of God, you can do it today. Pastor, how do I do it? Just acknowledge to God that I am a sinner. Lord, and I'm in need of your grace. I'm in need of that favor you talked about that lasts for a lifetime. I still have life in me. And I don't want to spend the rest of it angry. I don't want to spend the rest of my life full of rage. But I want the love of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God to be the fruit that hangs from my branches and emanates out of my life. Will you give your life to Christ today? Will you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? And he'll help you. I'm telling you, he will. You can cast all of that anger and that frustration on God because God careth for you. Amen. Listen, if you've given your life to Christ today, I want you to reach out to me today via our website, taylortabernacle.com. Jump on there today. Send in a message. Let us know. Let me know. Say, hey, Pastor, I heard the word today. Something about it stirred me. Something about it moved me. Something about it changed me. Something about it caused me to see myself the way God sees me. So I gave my life to him. I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I'm on this road of salvation. Come on, reach out. Connect with me. Connect with us so that we can be in partnership, so we can encourage one another. We all need help with our anger, not just one sermon one time out of the year, but we need reminders throughout the days, the weeks, the months, years ahead, always reminding us and stirring up not ungodliness, but stirring up godliness. The Bible said, think on these things that are good, things that are honorable, things that are of a good report. This is what we want our mind focused on. That's why I want you to connect with the ministry so we can be helpers one of another. Church, to my internet church, I want to thank you. As always, you've been a faithful and great audience. Thank you for listening. Thank you for chiming in. I see you on the internet. I see your comments coming in. Hey, remember, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be remain prayerful. Even now, members of our church, members of our community, members of our family are still being affected by the virus, are still in need of our prayers. So let us stay vigilant. Let us stay mindful. Let us continue to pray for one another. And now, I'm going to bring my wife up. The First Lady's coming, and she's going to instruct us for pretty much the balance of our worship service. I just want to thank you again for your time and your attention. I ask now that you receive the First Lady. Okay, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining our broadcast today. To support this ministry through the giving of tithes and offerings, what we'd like you to do is either go to our website, www.taylortabernacle.com/giving, or you can mail a check to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. You may also give by text by texting the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. Again, the phone number is 73256. Then text TAYLOR61. And you will get a link back to complete your donation if you choose to text. If you have any difficulty, please contact us for any assistance or questions. Thank you. I'm also going to give the announcements this morning. And I think the print is large enough that I don't even need my glasses this morning. Thank you for that. Please remember, everyone, that our deacons and prayer team are waiting for your calls. The number is 215-748-4578. And on the website, you can go to, again, www.taylortabernacle.com. There will be no PBS prayer and Bible study this Friday, right before Memorial Day, which is May 22nd. And the Cureton family will be hosting our next Sunday service. So that